Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The 2023 NFL Draft is now officially open. With the first pick, Carolina Panthers select Bryce Young.
And that is patented Bryce Young magic.
With the second pick, C.J. Stroud. The Indianapolis Colts select Anthony Richardson.
The journey starts now.
Kaysom Levis still waiting to hear his name called.
With the 33rd pick, Tennessee Titans select Will Levis.
Here's go time, go time, go time. When I show up, y'all get no shit.
Quarterbacks reign supreme at the top of this year's NFL draft. 2021 Heisman winner Bryce Young went first, C.J. Stroud second, and then Anthony Richardson rounded things out with three quarterbacks in the top four picks. Will Levis had to wait until night two to hear his name called. He went 33rd overall. A lot of burning questions surrounding these four that we'll get into on today's NFL Live as we say hello. Welcome in. I'm Field Yates here in studio. Left to right, Tim Hasselbeck, Diana Rossini, and of course, Teddy Bruschi. And we start at the very top of that list. That, of course, is Bryce Young, who went first overall. His head coach, Frank Reich, spoke about being sold on Young when he saw a garbage time pre-snap decision during his freshman year. And he told Peter King the following, quote, "The level of football IQ he has, that's on par with Peyton, Ryan, Rivers, Luck," end quote. That's some high praise right there for Bryce Young. Tim, do you think that he can succeed right away in Carolina?
I do think he can. And, you know, and the reason I say that is, look, he played a lot of football in college. He's been well-schooled in terms of, you know, how to play the position. And then going to Carolina, you have a relatively new owner. You have a new head coach who's just put together a new staff, and they're going to be there for a while. I think there's going to be a ramp. It's going to be at least a three-year period to prove that he can play, and everyone there is invested in Bryce's success. And then on top of it, between Frank Reich, between Josh McCown, guys in the building that have played the position for a long time in the National Football League. I think there's an understanding that can come with that. So, look, it's not a prerequisite to be able to coach the position, but it certainly is helpful, especially when you know that you're going to face some adversity. There are going to be some lumps, but ultimately, I think this is really set up for Bryce to have success.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Tim, totally, because where else is a better situation? I mean, the offensive line is strong also. I mean, last year I saw them just ground and pound teams towards the end, so that's still with them, even though they still have a coaching staff, but I'm sure the coaching staff watches that film and say, hey, we can run that ball pretty good now, okay? You see it, though. Miles Sanders is there. He'll help them with the running attack. I don't see how it is set up for Bryce Young to be. I mean, you talked about it early on SportsCenter team, the offensive rookie of the year. I don't know. I mean, the only thing that's going to stop him from doing that probably is durability, I guess. I mean, the whole size thing. Now we'll really get to see if it takes effect, because he'll be the day one starter, and can he last all 17? Because we had two quarterbacks in the Super Bowl that are pretty durable in Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, and they both barely made it in terms of the clavicle injury for Hurts and then the playoff ankle injury for Mahomes. It gets rough out there. So let's see if Bryce Young lasts. But besides that, this kid's a great player in a great situation.
Yeah, Teddy, your mindset is very similar to what the Panthers' mindset has been since they drafted him, and obviously the time before that, and even now as they are learning more about him, as he's been very engaged in learning as much as he possibly can about this team. You got veterans like Adam Thielen, who recently said he's been so impressed with Bryce Young and his stature, his ability to really engage with people and teammates, all those things that we knew headed into the draft. But in terms of the play, the durability factor, that is something something on the minds of the coaching staff, something that they're going to obviously pay attention to this season to make sure they keep him healthy? And Tim, you used the word lumps, and it was the exact word that was used when I talked to a member of the coaching staff as recent as yesterday about what they can expect from Bryce Young. Lumps. They know the transition is difficult. They're going to face some challenges, but they're all in with knowing that the growth, that could be really impressive if he's guided the right way.
Yeah, as far as infrastructure goes, it's hard to find a better spot for a young quarterback than what they currently have on that coaching staff in Carolina. Let's go to the number two quarterback taken, as it wasn't long before C.J. Stroud heard his name. As a matter of fact, the Texans took him second overall. Texans chairman and CEO Cal McNair was asked about whether he and his wife Hannah influenced the Stroud pick. Quote, "Hannah and I don't make the picks. We'll make it clear there," he said during the 20th annual Houston Texans Charity Golf Classic. "We have a great group of scouts led by Nick Caserio and James Lippert, and they did a lot of work on the draft board. Then they followed that on draft day, and they moved up when they saw the value was there." Quote, Diana, in the days following the draft, what have you heard about the Texans' decision-making process to take C.J. Stroud with that number two overall pick?
Yeah, from having conversations with people in Houston since they made that choice at number two for C.J. Stroud, is that was their pick all along. There were tons of conversations that were happening up into the week of the draft, right? Different people in the building pitching different thoughts and ideas. It was a collaborative effort, but there were people who wanted different players at that spot. But when it came down to it, C.J. Stroud was the quarterback they had their eye on the entire time, and that was their pick, and they were all set with that the week of the draft and never veered away from it.
All right, Tim, let's make the decision now. Who needs to wait until September? Should the Texans start C.J. Stroud in week one?
Field, I'd play him. And look, there'll be a general theme for me today on the show about playing is how you get better. You know, you can improve a little bit watching, but most guys get worse by watching. And so C.J. Stroud obviously played college football at a very high level and excelled at it. And I think that, again, a new staff who's completely invested in this player, build with him and around him and let him learn on the job. That's what I would do. And then you look at how the roster is constructed at the quarterback position. Davis Mills, obviously Case Keenum brought in as well. I think there's a shot. Look, Davis Mills maybe isn't even on the opening day roster. And so I think when you look at that, I would be planning for C.J. Stroud to be my week one starter and get him ready to go and learn on the job.
I mean, is he just leaps and bounds better than Keenum or Mills if he's still there, Timmy? That's the only thing that I'm thinking about, because if it's close, I say sit him and let him watch, because what does it do to a young quarterback when, I mean, you would know them, you come in, you play, you struggle, and then all of a sudden, I mean, are they to the point where you pressure him to where does Case Keenum need to come in and relieve him at points? So, I don't know. You play him now, he's got to be there for the duration. And I tell you what, this is where possibly the schedule release you look at and see who are our first two, our first three opponents. I mean, maybe Case, let's get us through. All right, man, look at these defenses we got the first couple weeks, man, when the schedule comes out. And it's like, all right, CJ, we're thinking the fourth week of the season because of possibly maybe you're just going up against some road graders on defense.
Yeah, Teddy, I just look at it as two things. One, that transition that we've been talking about with these rookie quarterbacks, right? Getting into that pro-style type of offense. They're going to be running what we see in San Francisco. That's what that offense is going to look like in Houston. Is he going to be able to comprehend all that as quickly as they're going to want him, right? Because that's a lot to learn. But then protection. Right? The offensive line in Houston has struggled a bit. So keeping him on his feet, keeping him healthy, while dealing with all the factors that we're talking about and discussing in what you deal with as a rookie, these are all things that are going to be really challenging. But in terms of the quarterbacks on this roster, he makes the most sense for sure.
Well, I'll tell you one group of people that certainly wants to see C.J. Stroud under center in week one. It's Texans fans, because they're finally excited about their roster after a couple of downtrodden years. Let's stay in the AFC South and go to Anthony Richardson. He went fourth overall out of Florida to the Colts. He's already catching the attention of teammates. Jonathan Taylor on the Colts drafting Anthony Richardson, quote, "I was very excited. If you look at his skill set, the sky's the limit for him. You look at the guys that are in the league now, he reminds me of Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson. Looking at the size component, you'd throw Cam Newton in there as well. He's a physical threat. As long as he comes in willing to absorb the information, it's going to get real scary out there on the field for opposing defenses." All right, first of all, Wow. As far as hype goes, Teddy, that is some serious lofty expectations set out by Jonathan Taylor. But will his excitement increase the sense of urgency around the locker room to get Anthony Richardson on the field because of this incredible potential?
Yeah, thanks for the pressure, Jonathan. Really appreciate those comments and everything that's going to do to us here because, I mean, if players can see it, field, you know, and like even defensive players, him being on the field and say the play breaks down and all of a sudden you just got an explosion of a burst and he's just taking off and running for a first down. I mean, the reads he can do in the running game, all of that stuff gets you excited, but there's so much more that he has to show to be successful from the pocket. And do you do that? I mean, so Minshew, I mean, can you buy this kid some time? A lot of time, because Ursay is going to be out there too. He's going to be like, hey man, this guy looks good in practice and I've seen him move. Hey, so I can put him in. So let's see how much patience Ursay has there too.
Yeah, how long did it last when the Bears were saying Andy Dalton was QB1? And Justin Fields was sitting there with the rest of that locker room saying, look, we've seen this guy. Right. We've seen what a freak this guy is. Hey, get him out of the field. Like, hey, we get it. Maybe he isn't as ready, doesn't know the offense as well as the veteran that we have. But, gosh, like, we see it too, guys. Like, the scouting department drafted him for a reason, and we see it as well. Teddy, I will agree with you 100%. And then on top of that, I'm going to go back to this theme. 13 starts in college. Mm. Look, you need to play the position in order to improve at it. And I get it. You don't want to throw somebody to the wolves when they're not ready. But just look at the experience of the other guys that were drafted in his class. And you look in the last 20 years, guys drafted in the first round with similar starts. You got to go back to Mitchell Trubisky, a guy who clearly, you know, was not totally ready to go out there right at the beginning. But you need to play. You need the reps. It's the hardest position in sports, and because we're drafting guys on potential now, we're asking guys to have 13 starts under their belt, and next thing you know, watch somebody else play for a year and then come in and be the answer. I just think it's so hard. Let's just agree right now. He's going to make mistakes. Mm. He's going to get fooled by coverages. He's going to throw bad picks. But you know what? If he can learn from them and not have them happen again, then all that potential Jonathan Taylor's talking about, then we'll see it sooner rather than later.
So, Tim, if you're in the quarterback room, and I want to ask you this question, man. So I'm curious as what it needs to be for the coaches to see, for the coordinator to see, like a difference from the training camp, mini camp, all the way to where you're even in the quarterback room as someone that's supposed to nurture him. You see him make, bam, a certain read, a certain play. What is the one thing that would make you see Anthony Richardson on film saying, I think he's ready now?
I'm telling you right now, Teddy, an understanding of protection. The second I think that he understands the protections that we're going to call, which means that he can see them and know where he's protected and where he's not. As soon as I know that, then he's playing. Hmm. As long as I feel like he knows it so much that he's not putting himself in danger of getting hurt because he doesn't know where it's coming from, then I'm good. He should be out there playing.
Nice.
Diana, when do you expect to see him on the field, though? What are the Colts' plans for working in Anthony Richardson?
Well, after this conversation, Shane Steichen's texting me right now like, man, you guys want to see our guy? All right, let's just roll him out. But look, that's not the plan that I've been hearing out of Indy right now, right? Because, look, there's a lot of things that he still needs to learn. It's been the theme of this entire show so far, the transition. Now, look. The owner already came out and said they want to see him, right? They drafted him for a reason. He's so big. He's so talented. They're going to want to display him. But the coaching staff, I can tell you from their perspective, they just want to make sure he is prepared. Those protections are one of the things that they're talking about in terms of the preparation if we see him week 1. But for now, I'm told, this is just a work in progress.
What a fascinating player Anthony Richardson. He was during the pre-draft process and remains now in Indianapolis. Let's go to the Titans. Stay in the AFC South. They made Will Levis the 4th quarterback taken overall, 33rd, top of the 2nd round. He joins a quarterback room that also includes veteran Ryan Tannehill, although he is currently entering the final year of his contract. Diana, right back to you. What are the Titans' plans for this crowded quarterback room right now in Nashville?
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill is the starter week one. That's what I was told, that this is his team. He is the guy. The drafting Will Levis is obviously this team looking to the future, knowing that Ryan Tannehill will be playing on an expired contract, and this is his last year in Tennessee, and no movement there if they're going to extend him just yet, if they even decide to do that. But for now, it's Ryan Tannehill's team. Malik Willis is the backup quarterback, but they're going to give Will Levis an opportunity to see if maybe he can beat out the backup quarterback there and see if he can win that position.
If I'm a player in that locker room, I want Ryan Tannehill to make it as hard as possible for the Tennessee Titans to play Will Levis. I want Ryan Tannehill to play so well that he goes out there and earns another contract that pays him hundreds of millions of dollars. That's what's best for us as players. That's what's best for the team. Because if we end up seeing Will Levis, that means it's catastrophic for Ryan Tannehill because he's either hurt or he doesn't play good football anymore, and now we got to bring this rookie in and we're not going to win anymore. So that's what I think's going to see, because all Ryan Tannehill's thinking about is this: traded up 8 spots to go get this guy. And these quarterbacks, Tim knows, they get sensitive. They get sensitive on these things like this, and they're going to come out and be motivated and play hard. I think I'm going to see a great Ryan Tannehill this season that'll keep Will Levis on the bench.
Now, listen, I completely agree with Ted. Now, the only people more sensitive than quarterbacks are offensive linemen. But listen, here's the deal. Like, the situation in Tennessee is this. Look, Ryan Tannehill, he has a massive cap number. If the Titans had wanted to do something with Ryan Tannehill, they really couldn't. And Mike Vrabel's already said he is the day one starter. Look, I don't think that Levis plays barring a Ryan Tannehill injury. And the interesting thing is, and Teddy just alluded to this, what if Ryan Tannehill has a career year? What if he has one of the best years he's had as a pro? Yeah. Ryan Tannehill then is more of a candidate for a contract extension than he is to be some type of cap casualty or somebody they move on from, especially if he plays so well that we don't end up seeing Will Levis. So I think it's a massive year it clearly is a massive year for Ryan Tannehill. And really, he's in the driver's seat to make sure it happens.
And with all these quarterback extensions coming this offseason, Tim, you know it is less and less likely by the year that any quarterback reaches free agency. We're just getting started here on NFL Live. You may have heard Aaron Rodgers. He's a Jet. The expectations for the team are through the roof. But Tim will tell you why New York's tough schedule could ground their championship aspirations. Plus, Dallas has made a bunch of changes to their offensive coaching staff and personnel. But hear why Teddy thinks their key to success is actually on the other side of the ball.
NFL Live.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
NFL Live is brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. Celebrate responsibly.
This season's NFL schedule release show is Thursday at 8 Eastern on ESPN2. Our crew will take you through each team's schedule and break down the biggest matchups in the annual two-hour special. NFL Network will have a schedule release show as well. A Between the Lines version will be on ESPN+, focusing on the fantasy and analytics side. Let's go. And speaking of the schedule, let's do some quick reads and dive into some games that everyone is looking forward to. Teddy, you are up first.
Oh, yeah, I'm going with my dream Thanksgiving field because as I'm eating my turkey, I'm a dark meat guy, by the way. I would love to be watching, all right, a game like the Lions and the Vikings. And then when I get to my pecan pie or maybe my pumpkin pie with a little Cool Whip on the side, give me some Cowboys Eagles. So I'm looking for the Thanksgiving Day matchups when I'm eating my meal. That's what I'm looking for.
Field, I need to start this season off with some juice. So we need a rematch of the Super Bowl, right? Eagles, Chiefs, Jason Kelce decides not to retire. He stays in it. So you got the Kelce brothers facing off again. Jason Kelce going up against Travis Kelce. Donna Kelce losing her mind again as her sons face off. Obviously, you got Andy Reid, Nick Sirianni. We have all the drama because we both know, or at least we all know here watching, the Eagles were so close to winning that game. And you can make an argument the Philadelphia Eagles got a little bit better in this offseason. So I can't wait for that matchup.
Teddy, dark meat? That's kind of gamey, man. I don't know who eats that. Look, I'm looking for the gauntlet Aaron Rodgers is about to go through. Let's be honest. I mean, like, literally, he was blowing through the NFC North. Now, hey, you get to play Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, two of the best quarterbacks in recent memory. How about the Dallas Cowboys? Oh, by the way, it's always a big day when you play the Cowboys, but that's your old head coach who you won a Super Bowl with. Speaking of Super Bowls, a team that was in the Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles, and what they've been through. I'm just saying, when you look at this Jets schedule and you think about the NFL hype train that will be on display for each and every game, I mean, I think there's 10 games of their schedule where you're going to look at it and say, look, is there going to be exhaustion of the magnitude and energy and emotion that's spent on these games each and every week as Aaron Rodgers gets to face a new opponent in a different color green?
Tim, there's no flavor in white meat, man. I mean, all the flavor is in the dark meat. You can douse your white meat with gravy all you want, but give me that leg, give me that thigh. All you quarterbacks want that dry stuff.
Any thoughts on the Jets while we're here, Teddy? Because I mean, I can definitely do the rest of the show on the turkey meat, but thoughts on the Jets and how the AFC might change the picture a little bit for Aaron Rodgers.
That's a way to keep me on track, Field. That's a way to keep me on track, buddy. All right. Okay. All right, the Jets. Yeah, this is going to be new for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the Packers, I mean, the Vikings won the division last year. But right now, he is going to be in it until the every single week looking to see what did the Bills do? What did the Dolphins do? The Patriots probably are going to be at the bottom of the division. But he is going to be fighting for a playoff spot / division title come late December. Okay, so I think it's super important now. That defense buys him time early on so that offense finds its way through those early struggles, because late in the year, this division, there's going to be one game here or there that's going to be so important to where you're either going to win the division, you'll get a wild card spot, or you'll be bumped out of the playoffs based on what I anticipate from the Dolphins, Bills, and the Jets.
Yeah, and I already love what I'm hearing out of Jets camp right now. Obviously, we've all seen on social media, Aaron Rodgers has been there. And I was talking to a coach the other day just about his presence. Yeah, off the field, he's been fantastic. He's been a total pro. But it's what they're already seeing on the field, the comfort he has with these guys in coaching them up, already setting a tone. We are going to be a better Jets team while I'm the starting quarterback.
Well, again, the schedule release is coming on Thursday night. The maximum allowable primetime games for a team is 6 in a season. Let's go ahead and pencil the Jets in for 6 primetime games for 2023. Hey, plenty more coming your way on NFL Live. It's finally Jordan Love's time in Green Bay. Hear why Diana says the Packers are preaching patience when it comes to their new starting quarterback.
Tired Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Aaron Rodgers does not want to return to the Green Bay Packers.
Never been about the draft pick. I love Jordan. He's a great kid.
This is about Jordan Love.
That's what I'm here for. I was drafted here to play quarterback.
Breaking news. Aaron Rodgers officially is being traded to the New York Jets.
What do you expect this offense to look like in Green Bay?
More explosive.
Well, we haven't seen what Jordan Love's been working on. The Packers have.
Jordan's made some huge strides.
They felt like he's ready. They felt like he's ready to be the quarterback.
The Packers are swapping in Jordan Love for Aaron Rodgers after swapping Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. Here's Green Bay GM Brian Gutekunst to Peter King for Football Morning in America on Love. Quote, "We believe in our process and in how we make decisions. You never get them all right. We like to develop quarterbacks. Part of developing quarterbacks is they got to sit for a while, I think, and then obviously got to play. Obviously, Jordan Love sat and Aaron did a great job just kind of mentoring him. But now Jordan's ready to play. He needs to play. I think our fans kind of realize why we're doing what we're doing," end quote. So, Tim, will Jordan Love be helped or hindered by his time sitting behind Aaron Rodgers for 3 years?
Yeah, it doesn't help. That's not an advantage. Sitting for 3 years, I don't care what Brian Gutekunst says or anybody in the Packers organization, watching somebody else play for 3 years and starting only one game does not help you improve at the position. It just doesn't. The plan did not work the way they wanted it to work. They need it to work now. Part of why they signed into a contract extension. Just think of it this way. If you just look at week 6 and week 7 last year, Justin Herbert threw 108 passes, completed 70 of them. In the last 3 years combined, Jordan Love has thrown 83 total passes and completed 50 of them. Like Justin Herbert got more work in 2 weeks. And then you just look at these other quarterbacks in that class and the experience that they've received because they've played. They've played the position in actual games at the highest level. And so, listen, I'm not here saying that Jordan Love can't be good or won't be a good pro or anything like that. But what I am saying is if you look at how this worked out, watching Aaron play at a high level is nothing close to going out and doing it yourself, making mistakes and learning from it.
Yeah, I mean, what you do learn is you're watching a guy and his process, a Hall of Fame quarterback and his process and how he goes about things. But it is totally different when you get out on the field and you're down by 10 and you haven't been there before and the division's on the line. So what I want to see from Jordan Love, which a lot of people don't even know about Jordan Love, is, sure, you have learned the offense. And, Tim, I mean, he's learned some from watching, sure, but how about his reaction? How about his gumption when he's down, when we need a drive? Can he take care of the ball? Can he do all those situational things? They don't know that. They don't know what he can do in the situation when there's a defense on the field. So the little experience that he has, Gutekunst talks about his process. The process was messed up. I mean, you traded up to get him in the first round, and that was the mistake, in my opinion. So, but that's a long time ago, and now we're moving on to what this kid can do. And really, a lot of people do not know what this kid can do, and defenses are looking forward to going up against him.
Yeah, 3 years sitting on the bench. Tim laid out how little experience he has on the field. But I can tell you, this Green Bay Packers organization has turned the page on Aaron Rodgers. We're going to continue to talk about this up to the start of the season and probably through the season, constantly making those comparisons. And the thing is, guys, we can't. right? We're comparing one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the position to a guy that we don't really know much about. But this coaching staff does know a lot of what they've seen from Jordan Love out on the practice field. And everything that I've been hearing is in terms of the confidence. They believe in him. But they are preaching patience. Mm. Patience throughout the entire organization. No, he is not going to be able to step out on the field and immediately light this up. It's going to take some time just because he hasn't had that much time out on the field.
Yeah, and patience means it's not going to go too well to start because, let's talk about some of the other comments about, you're throwing flowers in terms of, this guy's got the mentality and Bryce Young with like Peyton Manning and all these other quarterbacks. Now we're talking patience here. Yeah. Patience still after 3 years. Patience still after watching Aaron Rodgers as you're sitting in meeting rooms and getting all the reps in practice. If you still want patience, it's not going to go well probably. And so, listen. Jordan Love, we'll see how he does. I still think the kid's a good player, but there's a long way to go for this Packer team. It's going to be difficult for them to compete for this division.
Aaron Rodgers once described his future in Green Bay as a beautiful mystery. Kind of feels like whatever we're going to see from Jordan Love this upcoming season is a beautiful mystery as well. Let's get to some more top stories around the NFL with you, Diana, and we begin with, of all things, an Andrew Luck update.
Yeah, no mystery here that Colts owner Jim Irsay is not happy with the report from our John Kine that the Washington Commanders reach out to Andrew Luck about possibly joining the Commanders. Irsay wants the league to take a look into this because this is, of course, tampering because Andrew Luck is technically retired from the Indianapolis Colts at this time. So no word on to whether or not the league is going to actually dig in and take a look at this, but ownership certainly wants to, and we know Irsay is going to make a lot of noise until he gets what he wants. Meantime, a lot of noise being made out of MetLife Stadium, where the Giants and Saquon Barkley still have not come up with a long-term agreement. We know that they placed the tag on Saquon earlier in the year. He turned down a long-term contract. Now he's undecided on what he's going to do. GM Joe Shane has said that he wants Barkley on this team. So right now it's really pretty much a game of chicken. Now, meantime, you got Dalvin Cook, another running back with the Minnesota Vikings. And just based on his contract alone, it would make a lot of sense for the Minnesota Vikings to move him before June 1. But if they're not able to do that or get that complete, then you have to figure sometime this summer they will continue to look for a team that perhaps is built to make a deep playoff run with those Super Bowl aspirations who would like to bring on a player of Cook's caliber. But as of this point right now, he is on this Vikings team, but all signs to point him most likely moving on from there.
Very interesting, Diana. Of course, Alexander Mattison re-signed to a 2-year real contract this offseason to stay in Minnesota. Hey, coming up, the Dolphins and Tua had an up and down season in 2022. Hear why Teddy says Miami can actually bounce back and win the AFC East in 2023 as long as he is healthy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The inaugural XFL Championship game is Saturday. The Arlington Renegades square off against the D.C. Defenders at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. Coverage begins at 8 Eastern on ABC, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN+. So the Dolphins' offseason program continues to roll along, and Tua Tagovailoa is, of course, leading the way under center. Good to see him back after suffering multiple concussions last season. Here's an unnamed NFL executive to The Athletic's Mike Sando with thoughts on the Miami offense. Quote, "Their whole thing hinges on what they get from the quarterback. They have enough to score points if they have a quarterback who can operate the offense. Their Achilles heel is their offensive line is very limited, and because of it, whoever is standing back there gets hit, and this particular quarterback is not going to hold up, end quote. So, Teddy, what do you believe is the biggest key for Tua in terms of staying healthy this year?
Okay, first of all, the system that they run there, I think it's advantageous to protect quarterbacks with the run game, play action pass, and all of the motion and smoke and mirrors that keeps defenses occupied. So that can help Tua for one. The offensive line, I mean, yeah, I think they can be capable, okay? But for me, it's about how Tua stays healthy, because I really think they can win the AFC East. Man, that defense is going to be great. But staying on Tua, I believe it's the way he falls, okay? Now, we as athletes, when we see people go down, usually the neck doesn't whip back like that, okay? In terms of whipping back of the neck, is it something core-wise? Is the helmet too heavy for his head? Does the player need to wear a neck roll to prevent that. Now, quarterbacks in today's day and age, I don't think they'll be wearing a neck roll out there, but Tua is going into and learning jiu-jitsu this offseason. And I think that's fascinating, because I think that's exactly what he needs to do, is learn how to fall where it doesn't roll, his body catches, and instinctively he knows not to whip that head back. Because if you look at, you showed all of the hits right there, it is the whip of the back of the head, and that's what has to stop. Tua can stay healthy when it comes to concussions if he prevents that. So I'm fascinated to see how the jiu-jitsu helps that, guys.
Well, Steve Grogan wore the neck roll, Teddy.
Yeah,
I know you know that. It was kind of a sweet
he
look.
Did.
Was
that, he did.
Here's what I would say about Tua, and that there's a coaching point for quarterbacks as well. Teddy's talking about the falling. And that is a real thing. You look at some guys, they just, like, they naturally know how to hit the ground and hop back up. Other guys, it's a labor. Now, I will say this. The coaching point for a quarterback is less adventure in your throwaways. It's that simple. Like, play is not, you know, defining itself the way you want it to define it. Rather than taking that one more step before you throw the football away, just get rid of it. You go back to the hit and play he was hurt in college. If he throws that football away a step earlier, he doesn't get hurt. And so there is an element to that, that coaches do coach with quarterbacks where, look, you don't need to wait till the very last minute, throw it away, and absorb a hit that's unnecessary. So I think that happens. In terms of the offensive line, look, they're going to be better. And, look, they fired their offensive line coach. Mike McDaniel's going to have his fingerprints all over it. And what Teddy said earlier is exactly right. The system that is run there is a tried and true system in this league to move the pocket, to run the football, to do things to change the launch point for the quarterback, to help the quarterback and make it easier on the offensive line. I would expect that to be the case with another year under this coaching staff.
So, Diana, everybody is, of course, wondering, after we didn't see Tua in their playoff loss, what are you hearing right now in terms of his current health? Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that Teddy brought up the jiu-jitsu, because I think when that headline first came across and we learned about it, it seemed a little hokey to some people, because it's like, well, how can jiu-jitsu really apply to football? Is this just an excuse to maybe veer us away from the problem, which is the fact that he's dealt with four concussions in a season and head injury? And the more I dug on it over the last few days, just about where Tua is right now, the investment in this offseason program seems to be where everyone has a lot of positive things to say, the things that he's doing out there. We've been talking all show about these young quarterbacks getting comfortable in offenses. The confidence Tua has now as the leader of this team in this offense under Mike McDaniel now, and having that full grasp, they're already seeing the benefits of that and the growth. So really, it's going to go back to, can he stay healthy? And it seems that he's doing absolutely everything he possibly can to do that. There's really nothing else we can ask.
Yeah, we'd love to see him stay on the field for an entire 17-game regular season next year. Let's dive into some other quarterbacks that are coming off of injuries and size up our level of concern for them in another quick read. Teddy, we'll start with Patrick Mahomes, that ankle injury.
always concerned with Patrick Mahomes. I don't care how good the offensive line is, because this is a player that extends plays 6, 7, 8. I've charted them at 9 seconds before. Now, he threw a touchdown at 9 seconds, but still, it still gives the defensive end so much time to go get him. Patrick Mahomes, save it for late in the year, just not September, October. So.
Listen, how about Kyler Murray coming off the ACL? Look, I think we take for granted guys bouncing back from ACLs and being totally fine. And it's typically harder for a right-handed thrower to have an injury to the left knee, just because that plant foot is always around traffic when you're in the pocket. Will he be lugging around a knee brace? When are we actually going to see him? Because it won't be at the very start of the season based on when his injury happened. I think with all of that, there's a lot of uncertainty. And by the way, does it slow him down? One of the best things about him is what a runner he's been.
Yeah, and guys, how about on San Francisco, right? That quarterback room made up of Brock Purdy, Trey Lance, and now Sam Darnold. And it seems like they've got a really nice insurance policy there, depending on how Brock continues to evolve here and grow and get better from his injury. He's still not even throwing that much, or not even throwing. So they still have some time here for him to get ready for the start of the season. They haven't been able to really reveal a set date, but everything I've heard is Sam Darnold seems to be the quarterback there that is getting very comfortable in this offense.
And I tell you, it feels like 3 straight years we're hearing about Sam Darnold offseason buzz. Some things change, some things do not. Still to come here on NFL Live, Ezekiel Elliott and Dalton Schultz, no longer members of the Dallas Cowboys. We'll hear why Tim's biggest concern for the Cowboys is a different offseason departure.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
NFL Live is brought to you by the Lexus ES, a direct reflection of you.
So the Cowboys made a swap this offseason. It involved the other Texas team. They acquired Brandon Cooks in a trade with the Texans. The veteran receiver gives the Cowboys some punch that is much needed in their passing game, and he has already impressed his new quarterback, Dak Prescott.
The moment that guy showed up, just watching him in the workouts, the way he just carries himself from drill to drill, what he does pre-workouts, post-workouts, to take care of his body and to make sure he has that speed. When you're just throwing to him, it stands out. His speed is different than many others. He's already been helping CD, helping those young guys, playing cornerback, teaching them little nuances of the route running that is going to be huge for me and is going to be huge for the room.
Can't really put a ceiling on us. As you can tell, we can score from anywhere, quite honestly, and I love that for us, and we just got to put the things together.
That was CeeDee Lamb after Dak Prescott. Tim, is your bigger concern the weapons around Dak or the new play caller situation?
The new play caller situation, Field, in a big way. I need someone to explain to me the excitement that Kellen Moore's gone, because you look at the 4-year stretch where he was the offensive coordinator, they scored just under 28 points per game, which was second in the National Football League during that stretch to only the Kansas City Chiefs. They're the top-ranked, you know, scoring offense in the NFL in 2021. Like, a top-5 offense last year. Look, I think this idea of, like, hey, Kellen Moore was holding them back because he wanted to throw the football so much, I just would push back on. And I would also say his success during that stretch was he had to also do without Dak Prescott. So I think there's going to be an adjustment and a change. And I'm not here saying that Brian Schottenheimer, the new offensive coordinator, Mike McCarthy don't know offense. They do. But there was a creativity that Kellen Moore brought to, you know, how he would design a game plan. And I think the Dallas Cowboys were exciting and explosive on offense because of it. They're going to have to find that over again.
Timmy, you're pushing back. So it sounds like Dak's pushing back and CD's pushing back, because I think their head coach talk about running the football and pumping the brakes on lights out football offensively. So absolutely, they're trying to say it too, because Mike McCarthy, I think, though, knows what the strength of the team is, and it's the defense. I mean, you bring in Stephon Gilmore, and then you got a head coach talking about running the football more. I mean, this is philosophically ending every possession in a kick, whether it's a field goal or a punt. Do you know what I mean? So McCarthy, the discipline and self-control that he's going to have, because, I mean, the Diana's right. I mean, everybody's right. Cooks good. I mean, CD Lamb, he can get it done. They've got some offensive weapons that get you excited, but can the play caller, the head coach, have that self-control to say, this is what I want to do? It's different from the past. The defense is the star of this show now.
Yeah, for sure. And Teddy, I think it's interesting how you read that and how you're hearing it from both Dak and CD talking, and Dak specifically about Brandon Cooks. And guys, I can tell you, around the league, there's so much respect for Brandon Cooks, right? Because he's been productive in every place he went. But Dak was talking like Brandon Cooks was just like, you know, a top five receiver right now, because he is trying to send a message, in my opinion, just from hearing it, of like, no, this is the kind of offense I want to do, right? It's obvious he leans a little bit more towards what they were doing, which Tim painted the perfect picture, which was a very high-octane offense that was productive, but it is going to look different. And they have been very clear. They want to run the ball, and that is what this team is going to look like, whether Dak Prescott likes it or not.
Tim, quickly, the Cowboys obviously aren't measured by making the playoffs or even winning the division, but instead winning a Super Bowl. How close are they, though, to Philadelphia, the team that represented the NFC last year in the Super Bowl?
Listen, I mean, I think they're close to them, but I don't think that you would have a hard time convincing me that they're any better than them. So I look at Philadelphia, and I feel like Philadelphia continues to kind of stretch the distance between their talent level and Dallas's talent level.
Yeah, they certainly had a lights-out offseason in Philly, did the defending NFC champs. Time now for us to wrap things up with one more thing, and J.J. Watt recently became a minority owner of Burnley, the English soccer team, and got acclimated to the culture in very appropriate fashion.
The thing that we're most trying to do is show people what real Burnley is about. I mean, I did a pub crawl yesterday on my way to the stadium. So I started at the Royal Daesh. I worked my way down to the Vintage Player, all the way up to Turf Moor. And just getting to know the supporters. I just want to earn their trust by showing them how much we care and how passionate we are.
I bet they love you.
I've never heard anybody trying to justify a pub crawl quite yet. Yeah, I mean, I'm immersing myself.
Yeah, it's research. I'm doing research. Lots of pints of Guinness along the way.
That's the kind of research I'd love to be a part of. I would like J.J. Watt to know that if he ever needs a pub crawl body, all of us here on NFL Live are willing to offer up our services as he begins this new chapter of his soccer career. We'll be back tomorrow.